This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Flight Training the Way I See It, a podcast we do now every 2 weeks. There's plenty of other episodes that we've done in the previous couple years. They're available to you. Just go to our website. There'll be a way to find that. And you can also join our Power Hour, which we do free every Saturday. And that's between noon Eastern, it's 1700 GMT, to 1. And it's on single subject areas. Like we've done 52 episodes so far. And those 52 episodes have covered everything from marketing 101 for flight instructors, to how to get students, to how to make $100,000 as a flight instructor, to things like deep dives into chandelles, lazy eights, the mathematics behind eights on pylons and why that works that way. There's been just tons of things we've covered. And so those, you can join us every Saturday live for those. And to do that, go to our website, cfibootcamp.com. And at the bottom of every page, there's a red bar, and it basically says join the Power Hour. Once you join up, then you'll get an email reminder on usually Wednesday or Thursday, which tells you about it. You can also find us on Social Flight. We've got a link there. And I want to cover today's show, and welcome back, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. So the Flight Training, the way I see it, is very opinionated. It's based upon my opinions on things, but it's a lot of factual information. So I hope what you're going to find is you're going to find that we produce a newsletter once a month, and we do the podcast every 2 weeks, and the podcast will be a reflection of the newsletter and maybe some deeper dive into the content and anything else I come across during the week or 2 weeks between, because a lot of things happen in FAA land and out in industry, and I'm kind of on it. I sit on some boards and some committees, and so I've got some things that I could share with you, and I know people who sit on other committees within FAA, and they've got some things to say. So let's first take a look. I'm just gonna go off the newsletter itself. The latest on the status of the ACS and the Airplane Flying Handbook that are kind of in limbo now. So I don't know if you knew what happened, but let me tell you what happened and tell you that those ACSs are ready to be released. And the ACSs that remain are those for flight instructor. So we've got that sport pilot. We've got ACSs for basically everything that's ready to go. They're in the box, ready to be released. All they have to do is just push the button. So those are done, and I know they're done. And I know people who wrote them, and I sat with a person who was talking to me about that on last week at AirVenture. So, and by the way, I was at AirVenture at EA Oshkosh last week, and I did some time in the SAFE booth, Society of Aviation Flight Educators. That's an organization, by the way, you probably want to join. It'll pay you back money. If you use 4Flight, I just want to pitch them for a second, because it's pretty good. They represent us, right? Flight instructors, flight educators. But if you go to, it's called safepilots.org, and you give them $45, they give you 1/3 off your 4Flight subscription. So for me, that equates to about $100 savings. With when I have my 4Flight subscription is about $300 because I also have the Jepson charts. It's 1/3 off all of that. So it'll immediately pay you back if you use 4Flight. If you don't, there's still other great member benefits in there, such as our stuff. So go there, right? There's Sporties has discounts in there, many, many. It'll pay you back. But anyway, I'm in their booth, and so I get a chance to talk to some people who are responsible for this area, the ACS, and some of the handbooks. And so we had a long conversation about a lot of things. And what I wanted to bring to your attention is that there was a case that was brought against FAA to say that these ACSs and handbooks are not really in your jurisdiction to be able to make people accountable to them, because that's essentially rulemaking. You're basically changing or making a regulation when you're mandating an ACS be used for testing. And so that then held up all the ACSs. Everyone was held up until this moment. They're still sitting there. It also held up all the handbook rewrites. So I can tell you for sure, I know this, that the Airplane Flying Handbook has been rewritten and it's ready to go. It's in the box, just need signature, get it out the door. So it's gonna be released as soon as this thing can be talked about from the Secretary of Transportation and down about how this is not rulemaking. And so that's where we are with them. Until we get that resolved, we're not going to see any ACSs or anything else. They're just going to be PTSs. And so with the exception of the ones that are already released, those still have those still are current. So if there's a current ACS, it's still valid. We're not going back to PTSs on that. But in the sense of new ACSs going forward, we're going to have to get this this language cleared up a little bit before they're going to be able to release them. But when they do, they can release them all at once. So do be ready for that. Also be ready for handbook changes. Again, the airplane flying handbook has been rewritten. It is sitting in digital form, ready to go. I'm telling you, it's ready to go. And there were a lot of errors in the current handbook, which is 8083-3B, FAAH 8083-3B, if you're looking for it at FAA.gov. And the areas that are in error, the obvious ones are in the ground reference maneuver area where the airplane is shown pointed on a track with wind it couldn't possibly be pointed on. So like S turns across the road, the airplane is constantly aligned with the S. Well, that's not really going to happen in real life, right? You're going to be, if there's wind, that would be pointed either outside that line on the ground or inside that ground, a line on the ground, by any means. But for certain, there's a lot to be done in that handbook. If you also notice, I don't remember which chapter it is, but it's talking about level turns, and it talks about, it shows a picture of a person sitting in a chair, and there's a slip skid indicator in the bottom, analog one, and on top of it's EFIS, right? And there's a girl with a ponytail sitting in the chair, and it shows the ponytail the right way, and the bottom slip skid indicator is correct. But if you look at the top image, that EFIS image is correct, but it's showing the turn opposite to what the turn indicator or turn coordinator is down at the bottom. So it's kind of confusing to the student. So there's that. In the multi-engine section of the handbook, there are serious errors in the illustrations because they're just wrong. The discussion of zero side slip and the omissions that were there, they finally put them back in with an addendum to the manual. But there were errors in the actual figures in terms of showing zero side slip and what things look like. And so anyway, those things have all been corrected. And I know the person who made those corrections, and don't want to say their name. We don't really need to know that right now. But at any rate, a very good person, very highly credentialed. So those things are being fixed. And I hope we get the new handbook out because, like I say, there's a lot of errors in it. So anyway, that's on that side of it. So what I wanted to do is go back to my outline here so I can make sure I cover everything. So I guess currently what I would say is that if you're going to take a flight test, you're going to be held to the PTS if it's for CFI, CFII, or II. The ACSs currently are for private instrument commercial and some others, remote pilot, but I mean the ones that would be of interest to us. So we still need to teach those standards and be tested to those standards, but for you flight instructors or people coming up to the ranks, it's going to be the PTS for a while. But that could happen, I don't know, it could happen overnight, I suppose. But usually the FAA would then push those ACSs and handbooks out. Handbook would be relevant or something you're accountable for as soon as it's released. So the very second it hits the FAA's website, then you're going to be responsible for the content in it. The ACS is usually they put a date that they're going to be effective, usually like a month or two weeks or so, because you got to give everybody a chance to get prepared for that in case there's major changes. So they give you some bit of time on that. So anyway, look for those at FAA.gov under training handbooks. And by the way, you can subscribe on some of these FAA websites pages. There's a button. It's got to look like an email button. And on that, you can subscribe to that section. And so if there's a change made in that section, they will send you an email, which is kind of handy, right? And they do have that for the ACSs. So I would do that if I were you. Just go to FAA.gov, and you'll eventually find where the ACSs and handbooks are. And if there's a way to subscribe in that section by clicking an email button, I would do that. That's your tip of the day, by the way. I think it's a good thing to know. So that's what we've got in terms of ACSs and handbooks. And I don't know of any other handbook well, I know they're all being rewritten at some point. I just don't have any current information on that. So basically, I won't say much about that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the latest from the FAA regarding the court ruling that flight instruction is considered now for hire, which really is a pain. Okay, so if we go down that road, you know. So basically, there was a court case. Because, between a Warbirds company was doing Warbirds training and rides and such things, and the FAA. And the FAA is saying you can't give flight instruction in a limited category, limited airworthiness certificate airplane. You can't do that. And so then they went to court. And then what happened was the FAA actually won that case. And the judge who had written about it basically said that the reason all that is true is because Flight instruction is essentially you're transporting passengers, so therefore it's for hire. And then it falls under a whole different realm, because flight instruction since the 1940s has never been for hire in FAA's mind or our minds, because that makes it really, really problematic. So let me explain that a little bit. So if you look back into how the regulations were written and the legal interpretations that are out there and everything about flight instruction, it's always fell under the category of just teaching. So you have a credential that allows you to fly, unless you be pilot command of an airplane, that is your pilot certificate. And your medical certificate that enables you to do certain things. And then you have your flight instruction certificate. And flight instruction can be given by anyone. I mean, you could get people from Garmin who aren't even pilots, sit in the airplane and give you instruction in how to use it and charge you money for it. And that wouldn't be a problem. In that sense, flight instructors have always been teachers and not being paid because you have a commercial pilot certificate. Yes, you have to have one and you have to have an instrument rating in order to get a flight instructor certificate, but that's not what you're using when you're teaching. You're using a flight instructor certificate, and maybe as low as your private pilot certificate, down as low as that, your privilege to actually be in the airplane and be pilot command. So for those of you who don't know, if you go to regulation 61.23, that's medicals. And in there, it will tell you in no uncertain terms that a flight instructor does not need to hold a medical certificate unless you need to be the pilot command. So it means that if you're going to give flight instruction to someone who is a commercial pilot already, private pilot or flight review, someone who is current, in other words, they could be the pilot command of that airplane. You don't have to have a medical certificate at all to teach in it. So, or to recommend them for a flight test or anything. If you have to be the pilot command, maybe because it's a student pilot or someone who's out of currency, well, then you do. And then it goes on to say that really you only need a third class medical, and in fact you can use basic med in addition or in lieu of that if you want to. So these things are all in the rule. And so because it's written that way, the FAA will lean on that to try to, and among other things, to press this against this court ruling. They don't like it either, believe me. So I was at AirVenture, and Steve Dixon, who's the administrator, is there, and he was talking about it. And he said, I knew this was gonna come up, I just didn't know it was gonna come up like right now, right away, right at this moment, I gotta talk about it, right? And so what they did was, in order to get around the idea of teaching in limited or experimental, we'll call them experimental airplanes or warbirds or those sorts of things, they actually made something called a LODA, L-O-D-A, which means a letter of deviation authority. And basically what it meant was that if you got a LODA, if you had one in your possession, and it approved you for doing flight instruction in a particular make and model and specific airplane, like specific N number, right? It's tied to the N number of the airplane, then the FAA wouldn't enforce. You could just go ahead and do it. And so they were thinking about it, and he was saying, you know, this is like a four-letter word to me. You know, I hate it. He says, I really hate that we had to do that. And he says, but it was our only, and currently is our only solution to the problem, is a LODA. So if you're teaching an experimental or limited category aircraft, you're gonna have to have a LODA for every one of those airplanes. So that's kind of a pain. The good news is that FAA has made it pretty easy to get. You can get it online. And in fact, at the AirVenture, there were QR codes that you could just press onto, and you could get your LODA right then. You know, it was pretty quick. They've issued about 3,500, I think, or 3,000, something like that. So it's more of an automated process rather than an individual process, which that could take, you know, if you had to go to physical, that could take forever, right? So I suggested that until the court case was over, that they do a LODA that's not tied to an N number for everybody. So it gave authorization to continue providing flight instruction in all categories. Any exclusions, okay. But in general, I said you could make a LODA that was specific not to the N number, but specific to just airplanes or rotorcraft, whatever you want to. And that would kind of help us out with not being enforced upon. Because currently the issue is when you're teaching in an airplane right now in limited or special airworthiness, it's if you don't have a load, it's absolutely illegal. And FAA is enforcing that. However, I think that, you know, they're not a very good police force. So they're not gonna do ramp checks. And that was the administrator was saying, look, I'm not having our FISDOs go out and do ramp checks, looking for letters of deviation or authority, or not looking for that. He says, that's not what we're on about, and that's not something I want to do. The only reason we have the LOTA is to close a loophole within now the current interpretation of this of flight instruction is for hire, right? Taking passengers. And that leaves another area which they supposedly aren't going to enforce. And I think it's impossible for them to do this, but let's chat about it for a minute. But because of this court case and this court ruling, if we are considered, giving instruction is considered for hire, then we're in the business of providing a transportation service, right? We're providing transportation for people. And if that's the case, then we have to operate really under an air agency certificate, meaning that we have to have either a 121 air carrier certificate or a Part 135 non-scheduled carrier certificate. And to do that would be really, really difficult. So to comply with the requirements, then we'd all need second class medicals because now we're flying for hire. So anybody's flying under third or basic med would be out, entirely out. And we already have a flight instructor shortage and pilot shortage currently going on. So this would kind of, and there's no school that I know of, maybe a few, that currently hold a Part 135 certificate with their school. And so if you didn't have at least that, then you're not gonna be able to do it. The only way to do it would be to give flight instruction for free. I mean, you could do that, but there's always that loose interpretation within the FAA's guidance, which there's an AC out about what you can do with your commercial pilot certificate, basically, or private pilot certificate. That was the other case that was settled by Blackbird. And they wrote a pretty nice substantial AC that really goes through the definition of everything. And one of it was compensation. And the definition of compensation is a trade of anything of value, anything of value. It doesn't have to be money. It could be, I'll mow your grass, I'll give you free flight hours, or whatever the case is. So that area of compensation still is sticky, right? If we're considered flying for hire. So I wanted to bring that to your attention and say that currently, basically everybody is flying illegally at this moment. But FAA is not really trying to enforce that. What they are trying to do is get their legal team and everybody on it so they can come up with a solution to it. They do have a solution to the limited and special airworthiness category with the LOTA, right? And that could be on the table. Although AOPA now has also done something very brilliant, in my opinion. So they engaged with both the House and the Senate, two members within one within the House and one within the Senate, and they're putting forth a bill to basically clarify and basically make a rule that says that flight instruction is not for hire. It's not for hire. And so that will then take care of that if they get that through, because that'll be federal law. Right, so it'll override anything that's been done. And now the only challenge to that could be then cases to the courts again, but that would be a uphill battle, I think. And I think the judge who interpreted the rule didn't really recognize how far this could go, or I don't think they considered it very carefully at all. So, because it really impacted flight training like crazy. So anyway, that's what's currently on the table. So keep track of things going on at FAA.gov and also at AOPA.org, and they'll keep us up to date. I wanted to also talk to you about two other little things. First, you know that our podcast is back. It's going to be every 2 weeks. And there are previous episodes, and you'll get a link to that in the newsletter, and also it'll be on everywhere you can find a podcast. It's called Flight Training the Way I See It. So if you happen to stumble upon it, you'll know. We also make a video version of that, which I'm doing right now, and that basically goes through our newsletter and goes through news of the day and other things that we want to keep track of. So that's two things I really wanted to make sure that you knew about. The other thing is, I'm also writing a new book, I want to tell you what it is because I think you'll really like it. Because when I was at EAA there at Oshkosh for AirVenture, I was helping out at SAFE's booth and helping out. And one of the people there is one of the people who wrote most of the Aviation Instructor's Handbook. I know you want to murder that person right now, right? Because it's too voluminous. And, you know, I was going through the whole thing with that person saying, you know, no other country really has this. I mean, it's not something that other countries do. They don't really teach practical psychology as part of, as a part of their flight instructor program. And I'm also an instructor in England, right, in the UK, and there's no mention of it. It's just, here's how you teach people to fly, basically, is how it was. But no, we don't have that. So I kind of think, At first I said, I don't like the handbook. And I didn't realize that person wrote most of it, which was kind of like, uh-oh, right? But, you know, I went on to clarify, and I think that's where we came to a good agreement. I said, the issue I have with that handbook is that each of those chapters, you can read it, and if you've been a flight instructor for a long time or a little bit of time and you read it, it makes a lot of sense to you. But when you're a brand new flight instructor and you don't have a background in teaching, most of the chapters really don't say things in a way you can use it. So you can read it, that's for sure, but I don't know that you get there. And I think what we end up doing is teaching it at a very rote level. And in our CFI bootcamp, we take quite a bit of time with that. And we've got some interesting things to help with that. We've got in our website FOI chapter summaries, which summarize every chapter. We've got a new thing called FOI roadmaps, which basically is a mind map of every chapter, like how things are related to one another, along with worksheets. You fill it out after you've seen it. If you don't remember it, it's got a bunch of acronyms or mnemonics in there that are attached to all those. So, you know, it gives you things to do. And the reason for that is because, you know, these things are hard to get your head around, right? And when you go finally take a flight test, at least if you've got this background, you've gone through these worksheets and you've gone through the mnemonics, you have something to talk about for every chapter. You're not just stumped with, like, so for example, if an examiner said, what can you tell me about the learning process, chapter 3? And that's the question. I mean, if you did that stuff I told you, then you'd have some things to say, and that would be at least a conversation starter, right? But that's still not the solution, right? The solution is the book has a lot of theory in it. And so I said this book is not operational, right? Means that you can't apply it, right? So I said, what if I write a companion to this book? That every chapter, I summarize what's in the chapter and say, how do we use the information that's in this chapter in any practical way with a student? And I think, and then that was well received, I would say, from the person, right? And the other thing that was said was, you know, in addition to that, what's missing really in flight instructor land are good scenarios, right? So when you're in the process of writing that book, you can give examples and you can give scenarios, and that will help whoever the audience is, you or people like you, to more clearly understand how you use the information that's in the chapter. And I thought that was all great input. And so I don't know if I'm gonna get to the scenarios, I'm not exactly positive, but I do know that that is something that's missing. And I for sure know that I can make a operational version or supplement to this handbook. It's not gonna be an FA supplement, it'll be something from us, but I think that will take every single chapter and tell you, you know, how do I use the information that's in this chapter in a practical or meaningful way? And so I think I can do that. So I don't know when that's gonna be released. I haven't even started, I just started writing it yesterday. So, and today is August the 3rd. So I'm not really sure, I just know that it will be. And so there's that. Let's see if there's any, there's one last thing I wanted to tell you about. Yes, so every Saturday we do the Power Hour. And I think I've said it already, but the Power Hour is from 1700 Zulu. And if you're inclined or you really want to have a good time, it's a lot of people will join, between 50 and 200 people, depending on the topic. And we have some guest speakers. We've had Gary Reeves, Gary GPS Reeves, guy in the pink shirt, who knows more about IFR and advanced avionics flying than anybody I know. He did a segment or two. We've had Hobie Tomlinson, who's from Burlington, Vermont, 42 years as a DP, knows more about multi-engine flying than anybody I know. He's told me things about multi-engine flying that I have been flying incorrectly for years, and I was a pilot examiner examining those airplanes, right? And so we've had segments with him. We have some more coming up. We've got some other people, great people, who are industry experts, you know. And we just, sometimes it's just me and but we always will tell you, if you're on our list, you'll get an email, it'll tell you like the next two Power Hours, what they're gonna be. Some people have said they're at an odd time, you know, it's not a good time for me. So what we are doing is we're publishing the latest episode to our website. So there'll be a way, if you miss it, which you shouldn't, because it's kind of interactive. It's, you know, you can talk, you can't really talk, but you can chat with other people, ask questions, and most of the time I answer all those by the end of the show. But if you can't be present, then there'll be a way for you to go on our website and see that. And we'll make, I don't know, we're just working on that right now. So it will be up, I think, this Saturday. So if you go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, and you go to the bottom of the page, in the very bottom of it, there's a red bar. And it basically lets you sign up for the Power Hour. And if you can attend, great. If you can't, it's okay. It's gonna send you a few email reminders to tell you like on Wednesday or Thursday, it sends you one, then it sends you one an hour before the show, then it sends you one 5 minutes before, and then right after. So I think there's like three that come to you. And there's a lot of really interesting people that, and a lot of past students from CFI Bootcamp are there. We have a guy who always tells me what the weather is in Baltimore. You know, we've got people that I know, people that I don't know, people from Europe, people from everywhere. So if you can join it live, that's the best way to see it. But if you can't, then there'll be a way for you. But the only way you can see it really is to go down to the bottom of the website, cfibootcamp.com, and then click on that link, and it will send you by email the link to the shows. And we've had lots and lots of really good shows, 52 so far. So this will be our 53rd coming up this day. So that's kind of where I wanted to leave it with you. I wanted to give you enough content to say this is what's happening really within FAA. Right, and the ACSs, I wanted to recap that with you. And the latest thing about being flight instructors being for hire, I wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page on that, and so that you know that what's happening and where to get resources. So the first place is go to aopa.org. So Jen, these links will be in the newsletter as well, aopa.org. And then the next is if you can find it in your head to be able to join SAFE, S-A-F-E, or you could join NAFI, National Association of Flight Instructors. They'll send you a monthly newsletter, and you'll have access to the website. There's a great app that they have, which helps with flight instructors, $45 a year. So, and I think AOPA is around the same. But you can go to AOPA's website, and you don't have to be a member to see the things I'm telling you about. So, but if you want to be more connected, then I think SAFE, S-A-F, safepilots.org would be the place to go. And again, you get a third off 4Flight, so I mean, that basically pays for it. I don't know how you say no to that. Unless you don't use 4Flight, then maybe there would be a case for that. So there's that, and then there's also discounts to many, many things. But I didn't want to really talk. My intent wasn't to talk to you much about that. It was just to say these are resources that when things happen, they're going to know. And it's going to be hard for you to keep up day by day on what's happening within the FAA and the system. It's kind of our job as industry people to do that for you, right? And unless you want to do it on your own. But there's a lot going on. We have a lot of people connected that are connected very well within the FAA, and work with them all the time. Through AOPA, through SAFE, through NAFI, everybody's got the EAA, everybody's got, you know, something in there, some connection. So we can get that out to you. So that's our idea, is we talk about flight training. And I don't have next show's routine up yet, but it's going to be entertaining and interesting, just like I hope this one was for you, and hopefully give you some good information. And I will see you next in 2 weeks. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinions.